Christian Ministries Church podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, surprise, I got something to talk about today. I'm excited. I really am. I've been praying about this since we were at the ministries conference, and I've been thinking about the life of a Christian and how we are to operate and what we are supposed to be doing. And I may share a couple of personal testimonies today that I pray you won't just leave on me, but you'll take them and make the application into your own life. Because God's no respecter of person, and He will fulfill His promises in your life if you can get lined up with Him and proclaim them. Just what a great song for what I'm going to be talking about today. I want to talk about stages in the life of a Christian. That's what I want to talk about. Because all of us are going through stages, we're going through steps, we're going through different levels. All of us are. And so I want you to know that it's important. Do we have the right slide up? You're looking like we don't. We don't have a slide up. It was a really cool, everybody look right back there. That's what it's supposed to look like, see? Okay. Our projector just shut off, so we'll be figuring that out this week. Most of you know my life because I talk about it a lot. And when you're a guy up front, you tend to share the same story over and over. And so for those of you that have heard this, just sit back. You're getting ready to hear it again. For those of you that haven't heard it, I want you to know I talk about my life in certain areas as an example of what God can do. And so I want you to know that for years, I was an entertainer at Silver Dollar City all through the 1990s, and I loved it. It was fun. The thing about Silver Dollar City, when you work there, there's a few that stay on year-round, but as you can imagine, they don't need everybody working there year-round because they shut down for a few months. And at that time, they shut down sometimes November, December, but most time, I mean, for us, it was shut down. There wasn't as many that worked. But January, February, March, we were off work. And so what we did, the group that I sang with, I entertained with, and it was entertainment at Silver Dollar City, even though it was a gospel group, we went on the road and would go to churches, and we tried to change our mindset from entertainment to ministry. I mean, that was our heart. We wanted to minister, but we found ourselves in this dilemma all the time of entertainment and ministry. And I think there's an element of both that can be very effective in life. I don't have any problem with entertainment. I go to shows in Branson and watch what's going on. And I love to go to a show to be entertained, and right in the middle of it, I get ministered to. And so that's even better. And so what we did is we would go on the road and we would book ourselves in churches all across the country. And then in March, we'd get back to Silver Dollar City and they'd open back up and we'd get back in the entertainment realm. And about the time we'd get back to Silver Dollar City in March, I was so enjoying ministry that I didn't always want to go back and start entertaining again. I'm enjoying this ministry thing. It's really cool. And what I had messed up was that I always had to have a platform before I could minister. And the Lord showed me when He was calling me to preach that it's not about a platform to minister. The idea of ministry has to be something that is in you wherever you are. At home, you should be a minister. It's not getting up on stage and I'm fixing to minister. However, I understand that language and I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying church on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights is not the only time that ministry should occur. Well, a few years after singing at Silver Dollar City and then going on the road in the off season, I remember looking back and thinking this is starting to lack in its appeal. I just didn't have the excitement that I once had with it. And I know that might be hard because as you look at people that sing and go into different venues and what a life. Go getting on a bus and driving across the country. And there are some great things to it. But here's what I want you to know. Regardless of what you do, most things you do start with an excitement for doing it. And then things start to lack in appeal. It's not as appealing anymore. Very few people that I know stay hooked up over the course of their life in the same church, in the same job, unless they get a hold of some of the principles that I'm teaching today. And I think it's important that we teach these. I mean, there's a few, but not very many people that I know that stay in the same church their whole life. And you might say, okay, you're getting ready to talk about the importance of staying in church. No, what I'm trying to talk about is staying involved with God. And the idea of things lacking in their excitement happens in every area of life. In every area of life. In marriage, you start out and nothing can keep you from your spouse. I can't even go to sleep because I'm dry. You hang up. No, I'm not hanging up. I just want to hear you breathe. Y'all are laughing, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, there was a time, believe it or not, that I didn't care if I had food or love. It didn't matter to me. Food was not near as important as her love. It wasn't even kind of close. Well, you can know that time passed. We're not dreaming about being together after church. We're dreaming about where we're going to go eat. Things change. In the phases we all go through in all areas of life, I heard a pastor give an outline, and there was a lot of leaders from our church that were there at the ministries retreat. And Willie George gave one of the best messages on this topic that I could ever have heard. And I really thought about just opening up the concession stand and getting some popcorn and just playing him. And right now in my mind, I'm going, that's still an option. But I don't want it to be about food. So what I was thinking was thinking about what he preached and how I'd love for him to come and deliver that to our whole church. Because what he didn't know that we teach here all the time is Philippians 4. And that you go to church and there's a fivefold ministry involved at the church. And the reason that fivefold ministry is in place is because God's people, are to get equipped to do work of ministry. And a lot of people think that the only people that are to minister are the people who are in the leadership. Those are the ones. But it's a call for every one of us to minister, and we should be coming to church to get equipped so we can go minister. And so that's what I believe. And as Willie George was talking, he titled a sermon that I'm going to use his outline on today, The Three Stages of Christmas. Well, when he started talking about Christmas, I thought, what in the world? But the points he made was one of the most profound things I've ever heard in my life in explaining the stages of Christianity. I mean, that's what he did. We all begin our journey in as a Christian as receivers. We all do. And so do kids. Right now, Tristan's walking out of here with Brooklyn because she doesn't want to do anything but receive what she wants. And so Tristan's going to go back and try to figure out what it is she wants. She either needs a diaper changed. She's going to need some food. Huh? Or she's going to want to play with Papa, and she can't do that right now. You didn't have to say that. Now my mind's all gone. So let's just pray and we'll talk about this next week. We all begin our journeys as receivers. Matthew 10:8. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, you can't give something unless you receive it first. You cannot give anything that you ain't got. That's hillbilly language. Peter and John said in Acts 3:6, silver and gold have I none. But what I got, I want to give to you. See, what I do have, I want to give to you. You have to have something if you're going to give something. And you fill in the blank what it is, but you got to have something to give something. If you can't give, here's what I can know. You don't have. If you can't give, you don't have. That's why you're in church this morning. So that you can get something that you can give. It's just a great point. That's why most important element in Christianity is in Christianity and ministry is time with God. See, you can't give the word if you don't have the word in you. You're going to have a hard time praying over people if you haven't been praying to fill yourself up. Here's what I want you. Ministry pulls things out of you. And if you're not full, then it's going to pull from a depleted pile, and before long, you're not going to have anything to give and you're done. Certain parts of ministry are worse than others. They just are. There are some things that I hear and I'm praying over and I'm thanking God for in whatever circumstance, and I'm going, God, you're going to have to do a miracle because I don't see in the natural how this is going to work. I'm just having to believe you for all. And then it's all I can think about. And I just, let me say it like this. Ministry is spin, 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 spin. That's what ministry is. You're spending all the time. You're giving out and you're giving out and you're giving out. And here's what happens. Many mistake their relationship with Christ with their ministry. And they're not the same. See, you're supposed to have a relationship with Christ first. And many people make the mistake of their relationship with God being validated by ministry. See, I'm going to go minister, so I have to have a relationship with God because I'm ministering. And they're getting their relationship from their ministry. Pastor, that don't make sense to me. Well, let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. You're at work, and you've told everybody that you're a Christian and where you go to church, and you've invited them. That was a great ministry. But if you haven't spent time in your relationship with God, that doesn't make up for it. See, I'm not cussing on the job site. I'm trying to encourage people. Every once in a while, I'll quote a verse that I've heard my pastor say. I mean, if man don't work, he's not going to eat. And so you quote some scripture, and you're giving something that is ministry-minded, but you're not working on a relationship with God. And so there's no time talking to him. All of your validation for Christianity and walking the life out is your actions instead of your relationship. And we get that out of order all the time. You see big ministries, leaders of big ministries fail. You've seen that time and time again. A wonderful, godly man, and then you hear their name on the news, how they have failed in some area. Well, what did they do? They just got the ministry and relationship out of order. They just started spending time just in ministry and not in relationship. And so Ephesians 4:12, equip God's people for the work of the ministry. Ministry is work. Ministry is not building a relationship with God. But a lot of people mistake it as that. Work is ministry, and that should come as a result of a relationship, not as a substitute for the relationship. Am I saying that enough? You're getting it? You'll help me preach if every once in a while you go, wow, or good, or amen. How's good, Pastor? And if you're like, I couldn't open my mouth, then just smile at me and don't look like you want to kill me. Everybody practice. Oh, that helps so much. You just don't even know. If you don't have a relationship with Christ first, you're not going to live satisfied in the work of the ministry. And before long, the work of the ministry is going to take you out. And you're going to quit telling people you're a Christian. You're going to say, pass one over. Verse 13 through 16, Ephesians 4. I like what it says here. It says first in verse 12 that we here in the fivefold ministry at church is to equip God's people for the work of the ministry. And then in verse 13 it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. We should no longer be children, tossed and to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together here as the church, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying itself in love. I love that verse. That verse is powerful because it means that you're not here just to sit in a seat. You're here as a part of everything that should be happening in the church. But you've got to continually be filling your tank to be effective in the ministry. Don't let ministry try to fill it. What do you mean? Well, I serve in the nursery, or I served in the nursery. Okay, wonderful. Why aren't you anymore? Well, because I just can't handle the kids that are in there. You need to teach more on parenting. Well, wait a minute here. You just said that you were here to provide your... What you just told me is you weren't filling yourself up with the Lord and your tank's getting full by him. You're waiting for a kid to fill it. We'll never have a nursery worker again if you're waiting for a kid to fill your tank. I'm just telling you. Maybe a grandkid and yours, but not someone else. I've done ministry work with a bunch of people, and I've watched a few of them not keep their relationship with Christ full, and they fell into sin that not even a baby Christian would fall into. I've watched it happen time and time again over the years of being in ministry. Seeing it in over 600 churches, I've seen it with a lot of pastors. See, they were trying to get their fill from the work of the ministry, not their fill from their relationship with the one who they're doing ministry for. And I've just seen it. And so the first stage of Christianity I want to talk about today is the first stage is we enter Christianity as receivers. We're receivers first. That's what we are. We're receivers. I mean, the childhood stage of our Christian walk. Matthew 18, verse 1 says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you something about kids. They are primarily receivers. That's why parents get up and walk out with them. And we love it here when parents do that, because then everybody else can hear the word and what's being said instead of their eyes focusing on a child that's wanting to receive something other than the word. So we take them in the back and we try to give them what they can need receiving. Sometimes they need an attitude adjustment. Sometimes they need to eat or drink. And sometimes, see, there's something that they're going to need. I get that. Because you enter this world as a receiver. Well, you enter Christianity the same way. As a receiver, they ask for something without even giving thought as to whether all their chores are done. Come on, parents. They don't care if their bed's made. They live in a mindset of receiving. And are we not in the greatest generation ever of entitlement? It's because everybody's walking in immaturity. When you're starting to think you're entitled to something, you just tell me how mature you are. You just like a little baby. You just want to receive. It's all about me, all about me, all about me. And that's what happens. And see, you, just when you're talking about Christmas, because I love what was said here. If a child asks, how many days till Christmas? And you say, well, there's 21 days till Christmas. Ah, that's too long. Really? 21 days? That's not that long. 21 days goes by like that. To a child, that seems like half their life. It's going to be forever. I'm not ever going to get to Christmas. It's just a long time. So what you do is you buy this little thing that you open a door every day, or you fill something up, or you make a chain link of papers and you take them off and the chain's getting shorter. It's getting closer. And what's the child thinking? Anticipation. You're trying to build anticipation for the day that they're going to get what they want. They can't wait to receive. And so the key word here in this stage is anticipation. I can't wait. That's their thought. They can't wait. They just can't wait. I can't wait for Christmas. And it's the same feeling when you get saved and you're truly saved. You know Jesus came in and saved you from this life of horror. I mean, it was horrible. And God saved me and now I got heaven and I'm so excited. And so you all know people who have got radically saved and they can't wait to hear the word. And you might sit next to somebody who just got saved. And you're sitting there and they're like, oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Was that not phenomenal? And you're sitting here thinking, I've heard that 100 times. Oh, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard. That's because you've never heard anything. So you never heard anything. You're just a baby Christian. You don't know anything. And so one person sitting there getting exhorted in service, the other one's sitting there getting revelation. It's the greatest thing I've ever heard. And so you're sitting right next to someone who's at a, and you're frustrated that they, same thing, you ought to have already heard that. And you're getting divine revelation and they've heard it 50 times. You're like, this is so good. I've never heard that before. Here's what I want you. I love someone who's excited about Christ. They just gave their heart and life to Jesus. And I mean, they're anticipating that they're going to receive something. Pastor, I'm here today. I'm ready to receive. I've heard that from people who are new Christians. They're ready. They're ready for more. They're going to show up for every class that you're going to teach. Things couldn't be more exciting until one day. I don't know what happens, but there comes a day when you start, over time, going, I've already heard that. That's nothing new. And the wonder, the excitement, it just kind of disappears. It's not as exciting as it once was. Things aren't just tickling me the way they did before. And they're not as new as they once were. Come on, are you hearing me? It's important that you know that the same old happens in everything. And I remember being there when I sang in the group thinking, okay, here we go, another church. Wonder what this one's going to look like. Wonder what the people will be like there. Whatever it is, I've sang to everybody that's already there before, just a different personality or a different place, but the same personality. I could tell you how the Baptists were going to respond, how the Assembly of God were going to respond, how the Lutheran were going to respond. I could tell you in every denominational church we've ever been in, I knew a lot about what I was going to have to say and do to get them to even smile. I knew what jokes you could tell and what you couldn't tell. This one will be funny here because they understand it. This one they've never heard before because they're denominational. I just knew what to do, and so there wasn't no more excitement. We'd say the same line every day, same thing. And so it just got to where it wasn't exciting as it once was. Well, here's what happened. It's the same thing that happens with everybody. You start moving from just being a receiver into a transition stage. And that transition stage is a place that Jesus talked about. Paul said it in Ephesians 5. God said it in Genesis. Here's Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You may not know this, but as a man leaves his father and mother, that's a plan of God. Why? Because they're transitioning out of being under a parent's rule to happen to be the one who lives the rule. There's seasons, there's stages, there's cycles that occur over time. And it's not instant. You don't leave diapers to the next day getting married. There's a concern that our world thinks you do, but you don't. There's a transition time. And when you as a little kid were born, no one was thinking about you leaving home. But Ephesians said there's a time when a man shall leave his home that he's always known, his father and mother, and be joined to his wife. And then the two will become one flesh. It's a new season. I think of Brooklyn, and I'm going to use her as an example. If she was going out this morning. During worship, I look over, and I mean, worship's at a whole new level for me when I'm able to look over at my granddaughter and just, God, you are so good. You are so good. Just nothing better than looking over and seeing that smile. I don't remember thinking that all the time with my daughters. You better stand still or we're going to have a talk after church. I just don't think that. It's different. I'm getting off track. I think of my granddaughters, and I think of all four of them. It's hard for me to think about my granddaughters leaving home and becoming one flesh with a hairy-legged jerk. Probably shouldn't have said it quite like that, but come on, Rick, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard for me right now to think about that, and I don't even think about it, and I'm probably not going to think about it then either. But when I think of my daughters, I now don't have a problem thinking like this. I think of them when they were that age back in my home, and it was awesome. But something happened between the time they were a baby till they got married and stepped out on their own. It was a time. It was time. It was transition can be said, a key word for it is time. And transition takes time. God created human beings to go through cycles, and it doesn't happen overnight. Babies want their moms. This baby goes through a stage or goes through levels, and that baby then gets older and is able to eat on their own, is able to go to the restroom and take care of all that business on their own, is able to get dressed on their own, is able to clean their room on their own. Believe me, it can happen. And all of these things they start to be able to do on their own. And you watch them grow up, and you're like, eventually they're going to want to spend the night at Grandma and Grandpa's house. And praise God, parents are going to let them. And they go to grandparents' house, and we're just having the greatest time of our life. And about 24 hours in, we're ready for mom to come and take them back to their home. Because we just don't have the stamina we once did when it comes to childcare. And so they come in, and we're all excited. And then a few years later, one of their friends says, hey, you want to come over and stay at my house? And then they start going to other people. See, there's a transition. And then one day, this jerk comes to you and says, I want to marry your daughter. And so you're like, now she's not ever going to sleep here again. Well, I can see some benefit in that too. See, there's a transition that takes place from being a baby till all of a sudden they're getting married. The rope keeps getting a little longer and longer and longer. Are you hearing that? People don't treat teenagers the same way they treat babies. Teenagers are always in transition. No one says to a teenager, those are the cutest pimples I've ever seen. No one says that. As a teenager, you go through changes so fast. I mean, you're buying new shoes every 2 weeks. You ever seen a foot that can grow as fast as a teenager's foot? I mean, it's just good grief. Their voice cracks. I mean, they were singing tenor one day and they're singing bass the next. I mean, and then sometimes they're singing tenor and bass in the same song. You know, they're, I don't know. That never happened for me. I just always stayed a tenor. I sound like a chipmunk most of my life. But here's the thing. Looking at Christmas, see, someone who just couldn't wait for Christmas now says, oh, it's about time for Christmas. I best go thinking I better get mom and dad a present because they're expecting it. And so they're more excited about getting out of school for Christmas break than they are going to family's house at Christmas. Transition. Transition. Same thing happens with believers, people in the church. Teenagers, have you ever heard, parents, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard a teenager say, I'm bored. So bored. What are you bored for? There's 100 things. I'm just bored. What that tells me is that's a teenager who's in transition. Because at 50, you're not bored. Now, you might not get up, but it's not because you're bored. It's because you can't. Believers, people in church, every one of us experienced this. Come on now. You might not have to amen. You can just smile. Don't nod your head. Don't raise your hand because you don't want anybody seeing this. But every one of us knows it's true. At some point or another, you get bored. in church. You get bored in youth group. You get bored somewhere. See, Christianity, there's a time when people get bored. What do you do when you get bored? Anything. I do anything. I just don't want to be bored anymore. And so I see it in Christianity all the time. People doing anything they can to try to replicate what they once had. That joy, that excitement, that they're going to be rolling around. They're going to be jumping up. They're going to be spinning. They're going to be saying crazy things. What are you talking about? I'm just talking about there are people who are trying to regenerate what happened at salvation because they're in transition and they're not comfortable in transition. So they're trying to get back to where they once were when they were just receiving. Got to receive this again. I just don't know what to do. Well, it's a cycle. And I want you to know that when you're in transition, you have to understand the word time. Time is necessary to get to the next level. Let me just tell you all, transition is miserable. It's miserable. We want to get to some other place we're not at. I can't wait till I don't have pimples anymore. I can't wait to have my own car. I can't wait to have my own gas money so I can go wherever I want. I can't wait to get my driver's license. I can't wait to get married. See, you teach on prophecy to teenagers and they don't want to hear it. Why? Because they don't want Jesus to come before they get married. And I understand that because I remember being right there. Oh God, please just let me be a grandpa. And now I'm a grandpa. And I'm not saying, oh God, just wait until the rest of the grandkids. I'm saying, come quickly, Lord. This is good, but I know now it's going to get... See, during transition, you don't really know what you want. You just don't want where you're at. That was really good, and I don't even have that written down. You know, you go from a scrawny kid at 13 or 14 to a full-grown adult in 7 or 8 years. It's the quickest season in all of your life for change. Teenagers can become very critical, can they not? See, if you're not entertaining them, they become critical. Mom, I don't want to. I don't believe you. I'm not doing that. And they get very critical. If you're not entertaining them, they just don't want to be there. If it's not going to be fun for them, I'm not in. Let's go cut some wood. No, I'll just stay home and sleep. Thanks anyway. So if you're not bringing them to something they want to do, then they're not. Same thing with church. I'm so tired of driving so far. Good grief, we drive forever just to get this church at the end of the road, and I pass 100 churches on the way there. What in the world am I going there for? See, today you just go without me. I'm staying home. I know everything that pastor's going to say. I've been there for 10 years, and he ain't said nothing new. I'm tired of him. And as a Christian in the transition stage, we can become very critical. I've been to men's breakfast. I know exactly what it's going to taste like. Ben makes the same thing every time. Children of Egypt were all excited. I mean, when they were finding out the plagues that were happening to Pharaoh, I mean, those frogs, can you imagine the frogs? Well, that had to be good. And then all of a sudden, they're released to go, and they're out, and they're in transition, and they start getting manna every day. And it wasn't quite the cushy place they thought it might be. What'd they then start doing? Complaining. Started complaining again. I've watched it. It's no different in anything. People get excited about the receiving stage, and then they move into the transition stage, and they're frustrated, they're complaining, but see, here's the thing that I think. I think God wanted them to get tired of the transition stage. They wanted to get tired of being in transition. God wanted, because if you never saw it like this, then you don't see what, he wanted them to get to a place where they could see themselves in the promised land and not have to stay in transition anymore. And what I'm telling you is that might be a word for you today. You know what? I'm tired of being bored. I'm tired of being in the transition stage. Well, then just move on into the promised land. Well, how do I do that? I'm going to tell you. I'm glad you're here. See, if you don't go into transition and embrace it with a healthy mindset, then transition will eat your lunch. Loads of Christians get bored with church. They get bored with the sermon. And I mean, I see it on Sundays. People just, I'm out. You're like a mule looking at a new gate. He don't care. It's just another gate. I can jump right over that, go through it, whatever I want to do. I don't care anymore. I don't care about the sermon anymore. You're not going to say anything that's going to change. Come on, I know that you've got to fight through that in the transition stage. When you first get saved, a big tool of the enemy is to get you offended at what someone else does or says. I'm just telling you, it's a big deal. deal. See, someone in leadership, someone in front of you, someone leading you, or someone leading your kids does something you didn't agree with. I see it all the time. And they're going to leave church because of something that someone leading did. Now, it doesn't really matter if what he did was sin or if it was just an opinion or a flavor issue. I didn't like it. Let me just tell you, that person in leadership never needs to be your savior. But we are making people that are leading or making decisions, we're being critical in a transition stage because we're bored and tired of it, and we're crediting them with something that they don't need to be credited with. Don't discredit Jesus by looking at other people, because you can just write this down, people will fail you. And if you are looking at people to get to Jesus, then you're not going to have the correct view of him. You're going to have to look to Jesus. Psalm 119, verse 165, says, there is such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word, and they will never be offended. Ooh, I love that. There is such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word. Church, are you a lover of the word? Then you'll never be offended. When people get offended, I can tell you, they just quit loving the word. Don't lose your love for the word or you're going to get offended at people. The word of God has to be your source of life. If a person fails or stands upright, it doesn't make you waver. People can be rude, they can be mean, and they can be downright ugly. I can tell you story after story of how people have been wronged or they have wronged people. And some of the stories you find yourself asking, well, I don't know how I'd handle that. I don't know. I just don't know how people handle that. And I can tell you it's easy. Don't look to people as your need meter. Look to Jesus. God is the one that meets your needs. He's the one that equips you. He'll use people at times to speak through and to deliver. But the people will never be the source. They're just a tool. The source is Jesus. The world was at its worst when Jesus was at his best. Come on, Jesus himself had to deal with issues from the 12 guys that were closest to him. His disciples had forsaken him. They'd fled. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. No one testified for him. But Jesus was at his best when the ones closest to him were at his worst, at their worst. I'm glad I don't have to depend my life on a Judas. But I'm also glad my life isn't dependent upon a Peter. But I'm really grateful that Peter got it right and preached to thousands of people, saw him saved, one to the church. But Peter did nothing in and of himself. It was because of what Jesus had did. See, you got to get the source right. We need to get our approval from Jesus, not man. Well, I'm just waiting for somebody to ask me to do something. All right, well, let me just tell you, I'm asking all you to do something. Okay, there you go. You can't say that no more. Well, nobody asked me. I just did. Do something. Jesus has got to be your source. It can't be that you're waiting for people to come. And I have so many opportunities available for you to get your feelings hurt in this church. I'm just telling you, there's a whole bunch of them. But I also have the word being preached. And I encourage you to get in the word. And so I gave you the opportunity also in all the places that you have opportunities to be offended, you have the same opportunity in the word to not get offended in those places. Transition is so dangerous because you lived your life before transition by looking to people to deliver God's goods. Let me say that again. Transition is a dangerous place because before transition, you were a receiver only. And so as a receiver only, you were looking for God's people to deliver his goods to you. So I was looking for God's people to deliver to me when I'm a receiver to start with. And then I'm moving into transition and I'm still looking at people and I'm starting to know more and more about people and I don't like them quite the way I used to. And they're not the people I thought they were. And you start seeing people in their true light and you realize that people are people. And I've watched people be removed from ministry time and time again because of people. And it just saddens me. It just shows me that during the stage of transition, it's very dangerous. People leave and they're done. Jesus, you got to get your focus right. If people were without blemish, they would have been the sacrifice. people aren't without blemish. There was only one without blemish, and that's who we serve. And hopefully everybody knows the reason we can serve God is because there was someone who came without blemish, and that was Jesus. And that's what connects us, not your Sunday school teacher that failed you, not someone who was leading some area that didn't come through the way you thought they should have. When people get bored, they want something new. The Apostle Paul is just so good in Scripture with some of what he said. Acts chapter 17, verse 21. Said those who were there, they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. People that are bored or in transition want something new all the time. I got to have something new. I can't be satisfied with what's there. I got to have something new. And in Acts 17, 21, Paul's putting them down. Those who were there, the ones who shouldn't have been really, really doing it this way, they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Don't come to church all the time just to hear something new. Well, I just need to come to hear something. 1 John 2:7, dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one that you've heard from the very beginning. The good stuff in the kingdom, church, is the old stuff. Really. That means we don't change some methods, but we don't ever change what God has already done. The good stuff in the kingdom is the stuff that's been done. We have a new anointing on an old truth. Transition is the most dangerous stage in your walk with God. You got to hear that today. And you know, as we walk out of transition, it happens. Transition is not forever. But here's what I can tell you. Transition will either move you to death in Christianity, or it will move you to life and life more abundant. Transition, some people never move out of transition into the life that God has for them. They just remove themselves from God. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm done. Done with God. We walk out of transition. Transition is not forever, and it's going to end in death, or it's going to live in life and life abundant. See, that's the cycle, and my prayer is today that you'll move into life and life more abundant. We move from a place where you quit enjoying so much of what you were getting out of life to a place where you're looking to watch what God's doing in everyone else. With Christmas, let's go back to Christmas. We start it by being about what I'm going to get. I just can't wait for Christmas. I got a whole list, and I've been nice. I've not been naughty, and so I just know I've got a whole bunch coming this year. My stocking's going to be full, and there's going to be presents. See, you're all about the receiving to start out with Christmas. Then you come to a place where you're in transition, and it takes time before you get to a new place. See, Christmas is all about the sparkle in the eyes of those Michelle and I are able to bless at Christmas. For us, it's an excitement. See, there was a time when Santa Claus, let's just talk about Santa Claus is coming and he's going to give me. And then it comes to a point where you don't care anything about Santa Claus. I don't care anything about Santa Claus. And then there comes a time where you get to be Santa Claus. It's the best price ever. Really, it is. Well, you're not about what to get you, but it's about what I get to get them. The excitement of them opening the gift, the excitement of someone getting won over to Jesus, the excitement. See, in church, we got to have a bunch of people who have been through the receiving stage, who've went through the transition stage, and now they're in a transformation stage. It's a life of transformation. That's the third point today. We've got to get transformed. The greatest joy in life, church, is to live to give. As a new Christian, we learn how to give, and I want you to hear this. We give as a new Christian in order to live. We do. That's the beginning. In the beginning, our joy is the payback. See, we give, and in giving, we then will be able to make it because we gave. There was a time when the joy was not in the giving, the joy was in the return. That was a great place for a while. And everybody missed it. Let me try it one more time. There was a place where the joy was not in the giving, it was in the return. And the only reason you gave is so I could get the return. I'm giving right now for the return. I'm giving for the return. I'm giving for the return. Now, I'm not putting the word down and not saying that there are times I planted seed knowing that it was going to return. And I'm all about seed time and harvest. So don't take for a second I'm putting any of that down. But we need to be transformed into a place where we are the one who is the deliverer of the harvest. and we're excited about delivering the harvest for somebody else's seed. It's not that you won't keep planting. You've planted. You've went through the time of transition, and now you've been transformed. And there's been times in my life, Michelle and I have set at an altar, and we gave with an expectation of return. And I got to tell you, it was awesome. I've got a testimony that one of these days, this man's going to share it with you, but he's not in our church, but he came and installed all of the granite work that you see in the bathrooms and in the foyer. And I'll never forget him coming in here and looking at all of it. And I said, I got to have a price. And he goes, the church is not paying anything. And so between $25,000 and $30,000 worth of granite and work, he just said, I want to bless the church with. A couple months later, I talked to him. I stopped by his shop, sit down to visit with him. And he said, Pastor, my phone's ringing off the hook. It's just, I've never had so much work in my whole life. And so, periodically I stopped by and see him. I just seen him here a couple months ago, and he said, I need to make something else for the church. I don't know what that meant, but he understands the receiving part. I'm not here to put it down, but my prayer is that we get to a place where we're not just going to church to receive, but we're going to church not just to live in the transition time and to get past the boredom, or going to church to be a giver. There's a higher place for you. There's a higher place for you to live. We give not because we're trying to receive. Our joy is not coming from a paycheck. It's coming from being Christ-like in how we operate. We got to quit coming to church to receive, and we got to come to church to give. Now, I'm not talking about just money. Maybe it's a compliment that you need to give somebody. Maybe it's in service of an area of the church. But we come to church with this attitude. Who could I bless today? Who could I encourage today? Maybe that there's someone that just had one of the worst weeks of their life, and you're going to provide a harvest of a seed that they planted months ago, and you're going to say, great job. See, we got to learn to affirm and tell people you did a great, we appreciate you. We appreciate your family. It's more blessed to give than to. Do you believe that? Then are you coming to church looking to receive every time, or are you coming to church to give? If it's more blessed to give than to receive, then come to give. You reach a place in your life where you're not coming to church to be tanked up, to be filled up, to be excited. How dare you walk away from church and say, I wasn't fed today. One of the frustrating things that I hear from God's people is when they leave a church and say, that church just wasn't feeding me. What? At what point do you get mature enough to feed yourself? Are you still needing somebody to spoon you? Here, let me feed, but get the spoon. Here, open your mouth, plane coming up. Is that why you're in church? It's more blessed to give than to receive. How dare you walk away and say, I wasn't fed? How dare you leave a church and say, I wasn't fed? We got to have people that start coming to church to do the feeding, not coming to church to be fed. The fact is, we come to church and we should be full. We've already built ourselves up and we come full. By the time you reach this stage, you ought to be feeding yourself. Come on, you've been in church 10 years. You've been here 15, 20 years in church. You ought to be full when you come to church so somebody can get fed. The pastor can't be the only one feeding himself. The church needs to feed themselves so people can get fed. Man, you want to talk about an excitement for the kingdom of God in the church. You won't be able to keep what's getting ready to happen here down. It can't stay down. Why not? Because we've got a bunch of people full. Got a bunch of food ready to be fed. And we need more people that are full when they come to church than people who are empty. Every now and then, maybe you need to buy a gas card. Bring it to church and just ask the Lord when you walk in, who needs this today? I can tell you, Lord, place somebody on your heart and you walk right over to them. There are just times, the older I get, that I can see that there are certain people that have more disposable income than others. Well, let's dispose of some of that income. Let's be givers. There'll always be receivers. Come on, you know that. And they're here to get, they're here to receive, and they came with an anticipation. And there will always be people in transition. But praise God, here at Christian Ministries Church, we're far enough into this thing, there ought to be some people here that have been transformed. And they're living a different life. those whose heart is to come to church and give. I want to end today with going through some areas of the church. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what area I could give. There's a whole bunch of areas you can give in. There's a whole bunch of areas. And my point in talking about these three stages of Christianity is we got to get some people out of the receiving stage. And some of y'all got to get over your boredom. You got to get over, well, I didn't get anything out of that today. I wasn't fed today. Well, you're not fed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday either. Because the only people who say I wasn't fed today were the ones who are not feeding themselves. We need some people feeding themselves. They need to come to church full, not getting offended. We have an opportunity for you to say yes. And we'll talk about saying yes next week. Saying yes. And I'm not asking you to sign up for anything, but I'm asking you to go home and talk about it with your spouse. Parents, talk about it with your parents. We need some people in service. We've got a welcome team. And if you haven't been approached by Michelle Burns, hold on. She'll find you at some point. Come early, greet people, shake hands, work the welcome table. Well, I never thought about that. Coming early, you just lost me. Pray about that this week. Security team. Come on, there's a lot of things going on in our country. And I know the devil wants more than anything to just cause havoc in people's lives. Well, it's nice to know that we got a security team that's sitting right here amongst you that knows everything going on. They know everybody that's here today. And if you're new, their eyes have been on you since you walked in the door. And they've been praying for you. I'm serious. They're praying for you. But they're also going to make sure you weren't here to cause harm. Security team. Well, I don't know where I can serve. You can serve on the security team. Half you people here got your carry, concealed carry because of this church. Parking lot team. Merlin, what a wonderful job those guys do out there every morning. I hear it from people who come here, never been here before. Man, those guys were so nice to me. I would love there to be a list in every one of these areas that everybody here serves once a month or here we go. There's got to be some areas we have service represented because we've got a bunch of people who came in full. Sunday morning presentation team. I see Merlin Bettinger, or not Merlin, Braden, and a bunch of other young people. I know that there's a bunch of people that come in the mornings. Wes, I don't miss somebody. I don't even go there. Chairs set up every Sunday morning doesn't just magically happen. They don't levitate into their place and just sit down and go, oh, that was nice. No, people do that. Maybe you could help in there. Nursery team. Work in the nursery is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Nursery is a big deal. Here's why. Because the reason you can hear and receive this morning is because you got people back there who's watching on television and hearing everything I'm saying when they're not dealing with a screaming child. But they're doing that back there so you don't have to deal with that out here. And not only are they dealing with the screaming child, at times they are teaching that child about Jesus. And I love that. It's a time for you to impart to a child's life. Serve in the nursery. It's the hardest area to keep workers because young people are good at removing old people. They are. People complain about kids all the time. You're 200 plus pounds bigger than them. I think you can handle them. Kids church. We have a team of kids church. Rachel Warren leads every Wednesday, special events. And we got people. I mean, when you come here on a Wednesday night and you say, well, there's not very many people here, walk down to the other building, you'll change your mind. Half the church is down in the lower building on Wednesdays because we're feeding into young people. Nursery's a big deal. They have their own church down there. They have their own worship service. It's an awesome time. Kids are learning how to then be a functional member in this church. See, we're going to transition them here, and they'll be transformed because of Kids Church. Maybe you want to serve in Kids Church. Maybe it's Christian Ministries Academy. Well, I work every day. We have concession stand at a lot of different events, sporting events, things that are going on of an evening. Talk to Melanie. She would love for you to be able to volunteer and help at Christian Ministries Academy. You know, we have a coffee shop out there. Have I ever talked about the coffee shop? Coffee shop would be a great place to serve. And we can always use people. Well, I don't want to work with those people. I don't care. Come on, get full before you come so you don't get offended. Let's serve the kingdom. There'll be an area you can serve. The coffee shop is a great place. I know that a lot of us like, oh, Wednesday night, I was wanting coffee, and I'm like, I ain't standing in line that long. So I went up to somebody up front, and I said, here, I'll pay for yours. Order me this. That's budding. Well, you call it whatever you want. I blessed somebody and I got blessed. I went right back to the receiving stage. Youth. Youth on Sunday night, 6 p.m., Wade and Leah do a great job. Come and be a part of that. Women's ministry team. Well, I don't know what I can do. Trust me, there's a lot the women like to do. When they're setting up tables, they go shopping just for fun to put things on tables that they're going to throw away. You need to be a part of the women's ministry team. Men's ministry team. It's just fun to be a part of what's going on. But it's also great to have a bunch of people who are full and have been transformed, and they come in with a good heart to serve. Social media team. We need people taking pictures. But have you ever watched what's going on Facebook? Is it not amazing how we're represented on there? Jill, you do a great job. Jill, we appreciate you, but we want a bunch of other people that are doing that with her. And she's a good trainer, and she got a lot of ideas and thoughts. And so be ready to move forward with helping. Tech crew, media, sound, lights, all of this stuff. It just happens. Guess what? We need somebody this week. BJ will take care of it. That's got to quit being your attitude. There are people that some days, they're not here. They're either ministering somewhere else, they're out of town, they're doing something different. We need a second string, third string, fourth string, fifth string, and then we need to move all them up to first string, and we just rotate. We just rotate. And then we don't wear anybody out, and we got 100% of the people doing 100% of the work instead of 20% of the people doing 100% of the work. There's something that can be said about growing in the Lord. Y'all get anything out of that this morning? Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.